Okay, Doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Lesson 5. And we're looking at the regenerating and quickening work of the Spirit of God. Last time we said, but in regeneration, God uses the actual existing man with his fallen and depraved nature and transforms him into an adopted heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And there was a lot of talk last week about that one verse or that one sentence, because it says that God uses the actual existing man with the fallen and depraved nature. And what that means is this. If you did a cardiogram before your salvation and you did a cardiogram after your salvation, your heart would look exactly the same. The only thing that's different is what's running through it. That's the only thing that's different. Before, you had the blood of Adam, and now you have the blood of Christ. Period. New thought. You are a new creature in every sense of the word. All that God does is he infuses a new principle into your heart and into your mind. And that new principle is what makes you a new creature. He uses the existing organs, the existing body. He uses all of that. He just puts the blood to it, and the blood changes it. That's pretty simple.
That's an analogy.
Well, you could thank the Holy Spirit, because that thought never occurred to me this very instant. And it says, and transforms him into an adopted heir of God and joint heir with Christ. And it's still the same man or woman, only they have been renewed. Renewed. John Owen, friend of Winks, put it this way. Regeneration consists in a new spiritual, supernatural, vital principle of habit of grace, or habit of grace infused into the soul, the mind, the will, the affections, which is the heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, disposing and enabling them in whom it is into spiritual, supernatural, vital actings and spiritual obedience.
That's one sentence.
That's one sentence.
That's a short one for John Olney.
Yes. Well, you would know. You're his... And I want to just go back over this one part. Regeneration. What is regeneration again?
An attitude and influence, byproduct of grace.
Regeneration is an attitude. Your religion is an attitude. And even before you were saved, your religion was the religion of either Cain, the religion of Satan, or the religion of a cult, and you were influenced, and you had an attitude that related to those different religions that people claim outside of Christ. There are many outside of Christ. Even within Christendom, they're outside of Christ. And once the blood has regenerated your heart and flowed through your heart, your will, your mind, you are a new creature. You are no longer the same person. And anybody sitting here who has been saved totally, absolutely understands that verse, that change. Jeremiah 24:7. And by the way, before I forget, Joanne, next time you see Dylan, you tell him you told Pastor what he said about 2 hours, mm-hmm. And tell him the only way he was able to do that was because his God allowed him to do it.
Okay.
24/7, Jerry.
I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will hear, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart.
Okay. See how that really relates to Ezekiel 36:27 or 26, David?
Yes.
Go ahead and read it.
36. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules.
And I want to, and if you like, I have next to the Ezekiel verse, Jeremiah 24:7, and another one, Ephesians 2:10. Let me read that for you. Paul says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Listen, if God just regenerated you and said, "Okay, you got a new heart, you got new blood, go," and that's all he did, you wouldn't go very far before you reverted back. You have to understand something. Regeneration is a living process that keeps going after you're regenerated. It's something that keeps washing away the sins. It's something that keeps encouraging you. It's something that comforts you. It's something that keeps you on track. It keeps you in the middle of the track some of the time. It's a constant, grace is a constant thing. It's like a river that never stops. And that river is in each and every one of God's children. That's why he can say it was ordained. If it's ordained, it means it's going to happen. And if it's going to happen, then he has to make it happen, because it's for sure we can't make it happen. And the only way it will happen is if he puts it in us as a river, and he drives us. Sometimes do we not veer out of the river and maybe get a little close to the high grass? Yes. And what does he do if we stay that in that part of the river too long? He puts something in our life like a big log, a heavy log, or a 6-foot giant otter, and just brings us back and he put right where he wants. That's what it means to be ordained. In other words, you're making the choices of what part of the river you swim in, but he's making the choice that you're staying in the river. That's simple. Period. Stop. New thought. What's the next verse? Romans 5:5. Go ahead and read it, Doreen. You're up. You called it. You're up.
I have it written off the paper. Let me read it out of the Bible.
Okay, that's better. Romans 5:5. Wonderful verse.
And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Okay, the living waters that are in us, the Holy Spirit is in us, and that's the ordination part. That's the part that's ordained. That's the part that says, "I will cause you to walk in my statutes," of Ezekiel 36:27. Those are the things we have to remember, that we are living our life, we are making choices, but ultimately, The thing that happens is that God is regulating the water. He's regulating the flow. Everybody get it? All right. Let's look at the next one. That means, after what we just said, no new faculties are created. In other words, I know that if you had a 283 Corvette engine, it comes with a four barrel, and if you wanted to up that, you could take the four barrel off and you could put a GMC blower on it, and it would go a lot faster because you get a little more fuel and you get a little more horsepower out of it. When you get regenerated, if you were to take a sonogram of your heart, you're gonna find there's nothing attached to it. He didn't put a supercharger on it. He didn't put nothing on it. I told you, it's just the blood. It's a new type of blood that runs through it. So there's nothing new added. He's taken what you have. He's regenerated. He's made it alive to him. And he's hooked you up to the charger. And you're in that river. And you're swimming. And we all swim different ways. But he's in charge. And he's saying you're going down that river. And it's a wonderful thought to know that. Because if we were to think that we were in charge of anything like that. I remember being lost, and I remember thinking to myself, man, why does all this stuff happen? You ever do that? You ever say, why does this stuff happen? Why did I? Ugh.
Why me?
No, I never said why me, because I knew it was me. I always used to say, why did it happen? I'm such a nice guy, you know?
Well, that's what we all rationalize.
Yeah, yeah. And you have no answer for that, by the way. I never, never, in 49 years, I never got an answer, and I don't think you did either, when you were in that state. It's only when you're regenerated that you know the answer. It was only after I got saved and a year went by, and you look back in your life and you say, wow, wow. It's like sunrise every day. It's like you get a new one in your mind. You could be driving down the road and something will occur to you that happened in the past and you never could figure it out. And then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. That happened because that's connected to that. That's connected to that. That's connected to that. That's connected to that. And all of it's connected to that cross.
Concurrence.
The doctrine of concurrence. Yeah. Everybody get it? So everything in your life is connected to that cross. If you're saved, it's connected to the cross. If you're not saved, it's still connected, but it's connected to a different power source. The power source that you have as a believer, everything, the power comes from that cross. Everything. No exception, or without exception, I should say. Okay. So no new faculties. Instead, the powers of the soul are made alive unto God and fitted to enjoy God and have communion with Him. I want to just stop and ask a question. How many of us here, and this is a rhetorical question, you don't have to raise hands, unless you got a testimony. How many of us sometimes in our relationship with God don't come to Him with our problems? We just go there because we want to enjoy Him. How many of us jump up on Daddy's lap and just say, you know something? I got so much going on in my head. I got so much going on in my life. I just want to stay here with you, and I just want you to hold me, and I just want to feel safe and sound in your arms because I know you love me so much that you sent your son to die for me. So I can jump up here with great confidence. I know who I am in Christ, and I have this ability, and I just want to be with you. And then shut your mouth, close your mind, and just enjoy God. Not many people do that. It's always, oh, I got to pray, I got to do this, I got to do that. Whoa, stop. You got to stop. You know, the world has a saying, stop and smell the roses. Well, in the Bible says, wait upon the Lord. Be still. And wait upon the Lord. You just jump up on Daddy's lap and you just hold on to Him and let Him hold on to you. And don't think about anything. Just think about how much you love being with God. Think about all the things that God has done for you. Just think about the positive things of your religion and how it's changed your life and how you're being held spiritually, being held in His arms, and He's loving you the same way. You see Andrew and Paxton love Andrew and Shayna hold Paxton and love him the same way, exactly the same way. We have to enjoy God. God isn't just isn't just the guy we go to for all the problems or even all the goods or give Him all the glory. He wants to be enjoyed. I got to tell you something. People lose sight of this. Of all the blessings, Ephesians 1:3, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I got to tell you something. All the heavenly blessings are secondary. The greatest blessing you get from Christ's blood is God. He is the blessing. Mm-hmm. Everything else is the sideshow. He is the center, and everything He does, the things that are bitter, the things that are sweet, those are the things that are just a side thing. It's knowing that if God be for you, who could be against you? It's knowing that nothing can ever separate you from that love. God is the main blessing. The other blessings are just, they're just whipped cream. But the main blessing is God Himself. And you can't enjoy that blessing of God being your blessing until you drop all of the things about yourself and you jump up on His lap and you hug your daddy's neck. Yeah.
You know where you really see that? Remember Wednesday night, the Bible study, we talked about Romans 7, the battle.
And yeah, yeah.
Pete Crowley said, I don't know if you've got it. He sent out the best link I've ever, the best exegesis I've ever heard of by John Piper on that one section.
Mm.
It's a blackboard. I mean, you know, I don't know how they do with it, but you bring it up and all of a sudden he just takes, you got to watch it because I said it to everybody.
Yeah.
I said, Pete.
I still got it.
It was what we were saying, but nobody said it like,
yeah.
Like Piper.
Yeah.
And it went through a blackboard discussion, and if you get that email from me, you should get it.
Click it on.
Yeah, click on it and watch 13 minutes long. It's the best exegesis I've ever heard on Romans 7, 25 through 8, Romans 8, 2. Small section. He serves his words. I see another law, a law of sin. This goes
wonderful.
That goes. It's unbelievable. You see it? I just watched it again today.
I'm gonna
I sent it to a pastor friend of mine up in Vermont. He said, boy, I needed that. He said, I'm only like tomorrow. And he said, boy, that hit me right at the right time. I'm always beating myself up.
Oh, yeah. We're going to look at it. Make it a point to do that. Okay.
Exegesis on Romans what?
Romans 7, 25 through 8, 2. And you'll see it. I sent everybody the link, but Pete said it.
So having to enjoy God and have communion with him. Let's look at Romans 5, 1, June.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I gotta tell you something, that's it. I'm gonna go back again to myself. I can't speak for you, but I know it's true. You were at war with God. You may not have declared war, but neither did we declare war in Korea, but it was a war. We didn't declare war in Vietnam, but it was a war. You had you didn't declare war on God officially, but you were at war with God because you couldn't please him. Because every thought, everything you did, I'm going to say every single thing you did as an unbeliever offended God. Why? Because the Bible says without faith,
it is impossible to please him.
It's impossible to please him. You couldn't please God no matter what you did. And so that verse tells us that now the war is over. 5:1. It's a transition verse from verses 1 through 4. It transitions from finding the guilt, that all are guilty, there's no excuse, Jew or Gentile, and then in 5. To me, 5:1 is the same thing as Romans 8:1.
Right.
They're exactly the same. Therefore, because of all those other things I wrote to you, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you, that peace with God is what gives you the power and the privilege to enjoy him. Enjoy the blessings, yes. Enjoy when you get good bananas at the store, when the lights stay green a little longer. Enjoy the blessings that you feel when your heart races for joy. But most of all, jump up on Daddy's lap and enjoy him. If you really want to hit it out of the ballpark, that's how you do it. Your mind has, regeneration. Oh, James, where am I?
Ephesians
2:1, okay. Tom.
Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins.
Ephesians 2:1. That's it, okay. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, right? What does that mean? Before Christ, you couldn't please him. That's what it means, right? You're dead to God. Hebrews 10:19-20. Hebrews 10:19-20. Anne Marie. Boy, he opened up the door. You know, it's funny. I tell you how if you just are in the spirit all the time. So I'm coming downstairs this morning, and I went to close the curtain that separates the stairs from upstairs, right? And I don't know. I guess I got too low on it, and I went to turn it, and it ripped. It ripped on the top. First thing that went through my mind. That must have been what the veil was like. I ripped the veil. I'm telling you, and I got joy out of that because what that represented in my mind was that the veil was the Holy of Holies was no longer there. I'm in. It's great. No, I didn't. I wanted to after I thought it, but I didn't because it's Jerry stuff. But I hooked it. You know, if she was a Pharisee, I would have, but she's not. So I hooked it back. I hooked it back up. All right. All right, here we go. James 4:8. James 4:8. Vinny.
Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom.
Okay, just the 8 was good. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You could just stop there. And I got to tell you something. You know how many people read that? But how many people actually think about that? How many people say, how close do I get to God? You ever do that? You ever ask yourself, how close am I to God? Is the Holy shadow over me in my life? Is it? Do I see it? Or am I walking somewhere where the sun is there, the S-U-N is there, and I know it because I'm saved, but there's no shadow because I'm not abiding in him the way that I know that I should. I wonder how many of us think that. Draw near to God. Think to do it. Just gotta get closer. I gotta get closer. You know, it's funny, when you have a relationship with another person, that's the primary thought, isn't it? Right? When you have a relationship with another person that you love, the whole idea. I mean, I remember falling in love and pumping. It was in the morning, pumping gas in my car and saying, "Man, I can't wait. What time is it?" Oh, that's when I wore a watch. It's like, "What time is it?" Oh, I got all this time. What am I gonna do? Oh, what are we gonna do tonight? Oh, I gotta get to work. Right? It's you just draw near. It's important to you. Why don't we love God that way? Why? Just that's a rhetorical question, but I'll answer it. Because we're too busy looking in the mirror of self. Because we're too busy on the internet. We're too busy thinking of all the things we have to do. We're too busy. In other words, I want to put this over here. I think with all my heart, I really believe this, that when we get to heaven and we realize what we had, we're just going to shake our heads and we're going to say, wow. Not for long, because it's about joy up there. It's not going to be sad. There's tears. We don't know what that's all about, but there are tears, right? I just think that I'm just going to look down and say, what did I do with all the time that I had there? What did I do with it? And I think for me anyway, and I'm working on that. I am working on changing that. Because you have to realize that your time here is limited. And I have to say this, and it's in the message, but I'll just give you a little sneak of it. You know, God only has one shot with you here. That's all he's got. In other words, you're here for a limited amount of time, and he's trying to work through you. He's going to work through you. It's going to come out exactly perfect the way he wanted it. But he's limited himself to your lifespan, and nobody knows what that is. So to get the most out of your time here and your most for God, you just have to do what we're talking about. You have to draw near to him. You have to take the busyness out of your life and make him the center of it. And everything else, the sideshow. It has to be that way. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you don't do it, it doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. It doesn't mean that he's not your God. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. All that stuff is not true. You are saved. You will go to heaven. All that is true. But you're going to go there a little lighter in the fruit department than you would if you didn't do that. And we know there's a reason why he tells us, he says, I have come that you might bear what?
Fruit.
Much fruit for my Father. So we have to always be cognizant of what we're here for, right? And in doing that, and again, I want to reiterate, I don't want you to think, well, that doesn't mean I'm saved. No, it simply means that when you go to heaven, it's the difference between a fruit cup and a fruit basket. It's simply summed up that way the best. Somewhere in between. You want to have the most you can possibly have. And what you gain here, what's it going to gain you? What's it gain you to have anything here?
Nothing. You gain the whole world.
And you lose your soul. But he's talking in the context, he's talking about losing your soul. In other words, if you live in the world and if you gain it all and you're not in Christ, then what good did it do you? But in the same token, we could give that a secondary interpretation to mean what good does it do for you to have your treasure here?
It's like in the paper this week, $38 billion right? And his $38 million yacht lost at sea.
Yeah.
So what
good did it?
Yeah.
All that money.
That's right.
It gained him an early trip to the elevator, going down.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to B. What am I doing? We're still on page four?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What are we on, B?
Yes. Well, last time we were.
Okay, read.
We were going to pick out the three. We've done a ton of review.
Okay, let's go to three. Let's go to three. Well, I figure it's not bad to do, and I figure that not everybody's here. Okay, three. And your will has been freed from the bondage of sin. John, boy, that's a big one, huh? Now, I want you to understand, when it says that your will has been freed from the bondage of sin, what's the key working word in there?
Freed.
Okay. John 8:32. Wendy.
You have to read 31 with
it. Yeah, go 31. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So it says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, right? So how does the truth set us free? How does the truth set us free? Wink.
Set you free from all the traps that Satan sends your way. It sets you free from the wrong desires. I mean, we slip into these things here and there, but...
Free of condemnation.
Keyword, I'm looking for it.
Free of condemnation.
You're not bound to it. Previous to Christ, you were bound to sin. It's called the death house for a reason. Because you're dead to God, you're dead to the things of God, and sin is bound to you. Everything you do is a sin. Even if it's a moral thing, it's a sin because you're doing it without faith against God. Now, the world might not consider it a sin, you might not consider it a sin, but the fact of the matter is, God considers it a sin. Right?
You gotta watch Piper.
You watch Piper's video, and that'll sum up this point. Yeah, and so when you come to Christ, what happens is that those shackles are removed. They're removed completely. You're not in bondage to it. Now you know right. Now you know wrong. Now you know good and evil, and you will choose which one you're going to serve. It may be one time. It may be for a day. You may go 3 or 4 days, or maybe a week even. I don't know. But you're going to go a period of time where there's no sin, but something will happen sooner or later, catch you at a weak moment. It may be a spiritual attack. It may be an attack of the flesh or attack of the will, but something will happen, and you will offend God. And the moment you do that, the Holy Spirit's in there going, what's happening? What are you doing?
You're already cleansed from it, too.
Huh?
You're already cleansed.
Yeah, you're all cleansed from it, but your responsibility, he's telling you that you have a responsibility to repent of that sin. Why? Why does God want us to repent of our sin? And it isn't because we offend him. There's another reason.
For our good.
For our good, that's true. That's a good one. But there's, huh?
To be closer to God.
To be closer to God, right.
I was going to say, depend on him. Depend on
him. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what?
Something is hearing me.
He will not hear me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, you're not estranged from God. You're still a child of God. But the fact of the matter is, it's just like you're a child in a house. You did something wrong, and I want you to apologize for it. And I want you not to do it anymore. Would you do that for me? Not right now. Okay. He's still your kid, but he still has that responsibility to repent of his sin, and you and I have the responsibility to repent of our sin, because we can't receive the blessings from God until we do. He won't do it. Now, I hear people all the time say, well, you know, I've been praying and God has been blessing me doing this and doing that. And then 5 minutes later, the conversation will return to some sins that that person is holding on to that they haven't let go of yet. And they're working on it, doing all that other stuff, right? And they're still thinking they're getting the blessings, and they're not. They're deceiving themselves. The blessings aren't there. Period. They're not there. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear. It doesn't say, if I regard iniquity in my heart and I'm good most of the time, he will hear.
Most of the things they're working on are usually something that are pretty clear in the Bible.
Very clear. So everybody get that? So let me give you some examples. People hold on to guilt. People hold on to fear, which is unbelief. People hold on to the past, which is a sin. Jesus said, if you look back, you're not worthy of my cross. It's a sin to do that. All of those things, if you do them, okay, God hears you because he's sovereign, but he's not gonna act on it for the reason being that you're in a state of sin. And he took you out of that sin, washed it away, and now he wants you to repent of it, and he wants you to get back on his lap. Period. It's that simple. And as soon as your child says, you know something I thought about, I was really a jerk, I apologize to you, I'm truly sorry with all my heart, can I give you a hug? What are you going to say? No? You're going to hug the kid. Does that mean the kid's not going to do something stupid again? No. But he may not do it for a day or two or a week, whatever it is. And that's our walk with God. And we have to realize that's how we do it. So whatever you got in your heart, if you know it's in there and you know it's a sin, dump it. Nothing's worth not having fellowship with God and hugging on his neck. Nothing is. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. June, you're out of here. Romans 6:18. You know, that's the burden of ministry. The burden of ministry. 6:18. Joanne.
And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness.
There you go. In other words, if you want to be a slave to something, be slaves to righteousness. Be slaves to holiness. Be slaves to the priesthood of God. Be slaves to that. You will never, ever, you will never find yourself short of anything if you do that. Absolutely. And how about Romans 8:2? Tom.
Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death.
Get it? You're free. You're free. You've never been free before. You are free. It's sort of like that commercial that comes out at tax time. Free, 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 free. Everybody was yelling out, free, 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 right? Well, you could do the same thing. You could go down the street and say, free, 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 and carry a cross. People say, what's free? I'm free from hell. I'm free from the devil. I'm free from my old life. I'm a new creature. I'm free, 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 free. I might be overemphasizing it, but I'm really not. Right? I'm not really.
Thank God I'm free of that.
Thank God I'm free. Amen. Give him the glory. Okay. How about Romans 8:21? David. Got to look at him a minute before I get it. 8:21.
That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the
church. The creature itself.
The
creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And there's another one, for we know.
Well, you're using the King James, right? It's creation is the.
I have it in 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
The whole thing is the creation. That's the context of the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the creature itself also shall be delivered from. Okay, so, but I like the creation thing, and here, let me tell you the reason why. What does that mean?
That's awesome. Kudos.
Yeah. What does it mean that the creation groans? What does that mean? Here it comes. Revelation 21, 1 is your answer. Guess who got a good night's sleep last night? I'd do that more often. I did.
A new heaven and a new earth.
There you go, David. Pick it up.
For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more.
Okay, he got a new heaven and a new earth coming, and the reason is because this earth has a curse on it. So after the judgment, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And even earth itself is groaning under the pain of the wrath. How do we know that's true? It's erupting everywhere. You know? Let me tell you something. You know, people don't want to believe this, especially evolutionists, but in Genesis 1 and 2, there were no earthquakes. There were no volcanoes. There were no plate tectonics. There was nothing. Everything was perfect. It was only after this. It's only after the fall, he cursed the devil, he cursed the woman, he cursed the man, and he cursed earth. Mm-hmm. They all got the curse. So in Revelation 21, all of that is done. We get a new one, just like we are new. And you know what it ends up being? It ends up being going right back to Eden. Better, though. Better.
We'll be animals.
There'll be animals. I shouldn't say that because you bring up a good point. That's a good point. I don't think there's any animals except horses and chariots, and I think that's
horses
about
will
it.
Be good. Yeah.
Horses
would
be good. Yeah, we'll all be horseback riding, playing harps. Tom will have an edge on us
horses,
with the harps.
Horses, lions, and sheep. Yeah. Horses, lions, and sheep.
Well, no, those.
Well, we're